It seems to me that the Christmas season combines three different kinds of celebrations. And all these festivities are associated with dreams and visions. Now, first, there is the festival of home and hearth. That is a winter celebration of family and friends gathered around the fireplace. And its most famous song, of course, is White Christmas, first sung by Bing Crosby on Christmas Day in 1941, just weeks after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Later, it was used in that film Holiday Inn, a movie that many of us have seen repeatedly. And its famous line captures the mood of this home and hearth classic. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Now, the second festival is all about Santa Claus, old Saint Nick. It too is associated with dreams in that famous poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. That first entitled A Visit from St. Nicholas, it has this memorable line. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their head. And visions of Santa coming down the chimney loaded with gifts. Yes, they dream of old St. Nick with his, quote, bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. Now, the third festival, the church's festival, is about the birth of Jesus. And Matthew's birth narrative focuses on Joseph and all those mysterious dreams. We are reminded of that other Joseph in Genesis with his coat of many colors and his many dreams. So let's consider this new Joseph and his four dreams that structure the content of Matthew's birth narrative. Now, Joseph first dreams that an angel tells him not to reject the pregnant Mary, but to receive her. The angel insists that she is with child of the Holy Spirit, that is, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The child will be named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph woke from sleep and did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. So this first dream saves the relationship of Mary and Joseph and grants legitimacy to the child Jesus. Now, Joseph's second dream happens after the Magi had brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they were warned in a dream to alter their return route so that they would go home not beat up by Herod. And Joseph will also be warned in a dream to alter their plans and flee to Egypt. And so the angel insists that Herod is about to do terrible things to the children around Bethlehem. So they flee to Egypt, now as refugees, if you will, from state-sponsored violence. And this dream spares the life of the infant child and takes them to a land long associated with bondage. It is in Egypt that they will wait until the coast is clear. Then Joseph has a third dream. The angel tells Joseph it is safe to return home. The angel says, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And no doubt in Matthew's gospel, they would have returned to Bethlehem, where the child was born. But they hear that Herod's son, Archelaus, was now king, so they were very afraid to return to Bethlehem, which leads to Joseph's fourth dream. He's instructed to withdraw to the district of Galilee. Now he will take up residence in Nazareth, essentially a refugee from political violence. We would now probably call them immigrants seeking asylum. Now, certainly Joseph's dreams are crucial to Matthew's birth narrative. But amazingly, and you can look this up, Nathan, there are no Christmas hymns or carols that celebrate Joseph and his dreams. Can you name one? No, you cannot. That's because all the Christmas hymns are focused on Luke. So I went online and went to my AI friend, and I asked him, her, or what, to write a carol celebrating Joseph. And it did. And whoever the author, or whatever the author, here are a few lines from this carol generated online that can be sung to the tune of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, or if you prefer, Amazing Grace. Shall we sing it someday? Here's how it goes. Joseph, wake from troubled sleep. An angel bids you rise. Do not fear the child you keep, for God has heard your cries. Take the mother, take the child, the law and shame accuse. The righteous man obeys the word, no voice, but heavens chooses. Pretty snappy, huh? You can go online and get yourself a Joseph carol if you want. And that's what ChatGPT can do for your Christmas celebration. Now, Joseph has no lines in the Gospels. None. None whatsoever. But he does have four dreams. And as a friend of mine used to say, he's also in charge of the motor pool, the donkey. Now, what are we to make of dreams, or even our dreams? Researchers tell us that we dream 4 to 6 times every night. And each dream lasts about 5 to 20 minutes. So that would make all of us dreamers in one sense or another. Now, do you remember your dreams? That's a different question. Occasionally, I remember my dreams, and for that, I'm thankful. So dreams are a part of our makeup as human beings. Can we learn anything from them? Can we be enlightened or informed or moved or changed? Joseph, according to Matthew, was deeply impacted and instructed by these dreams. Those dreams probably saved the life of the infant Jesus and gave them, as Jeremiah says so beautifully, a future and a hope. Could they also be life-changing for you and for me? Now, I have had several dreams in my life that truly impacted me. And one happened many years ago while I was living in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 1973 during the Watergate hearings. I had become sort of obsessed with the wrongdoings of the Nixon administration. I attended many of the Senate Watergate hearings in person. I saw it on television. I read about it in the Washington Post. I heard about it on the radio. Overload. So one night, you're going to laugh at this, I dreamed I was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and all of the Watergate defendants were brought before me for final sentencing. Everyone, from Nixon to Haldeman to Mitchell to the Watergate burglars themselves. The last one to be brought in for the lineup was Rebecca Weaver. Now, you don't know Rebecca Weaver. Rebecca Weaver was the best student in my seminary class, a lovely woman with a great spirit and enormous academic skills. She later earned a PhD at SMU and taught at Union Seminary in Richmond for many, many years. We used to refer to Rebecca lovingly as Snow White, which made the rest of us the Seven Dwarfs. So it was utterly shocking in that dream to see Rebecca in that lineup of criminals. I awoke totally perplexed, sort of shocked at what I'd experienced. I only understood that dream after reading John Dean's book entitled Blind Ambition. The president's attorney, who spent time in prison, said that the lesson of Watergate was this, a simple lesson: the power of corrupt leaders to entice otherwise decent folks to participate in their crimes and cover up. The lesson of my dream for me was this: wonderful people like Rebecca Weaver could be caught up in something like a Watergate scandal or any other. For me, that meant I should not be so judgmental and censorious. We all have feet of clay, and we are all subject to failure and indeed sin. All we like sheep have gone astray, is how Scripture describes us. That dream called upon me to be more generous and forgiving of others, more tolerant and accepting of others' foibles and their failings. I truly thank God for that dream. Lo, these men. It made me and called upon me to be a kinder and gentler person, even more forgiving of my own stumblings. I pray that I will never forget the lesson of that dream, and I will follow. Now, you may remember that Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung had a falling out over dreams. Freud saw dreams as wish fulfillments, the expressions of our repressed sexual and violent tendencies. And most dreams, according to Freud, are oriented toward the past and our unresolved feelings about life. Carl Jung disagreed. He felt that dreams were forward-looking, revealing to us an inner truth about ourselves and our life experiences. Our dreams are often a message, a meaningful, symbolic communication of where we need to go. Interestingly, Jung said that many of our dreams, are you ready for this, are like a judgment scene with an ethical demand that it places upon our lives. Then our dreams can become deeply religious and spiritual in significance, often giving us an encounter with the sacred that we never imagined. Jung had described my dream perfectly, a judgment scene that called upon me to respond. And maybe also Joseph's dream called upon him to respond. And what about you? Can your dreams speak to you with deep religious and spiritual significance? Can dreams alter the course of your life? Well, that's my Christmas dream for us all, that we become attentive to those deep spiritual yearnings within us. Sometimes when we are awake, sometimes maybe those deep spiritual yearnings move us and shape us and direct us and even call us to a different lifestyle. May your interior life, your soul, and your spirit be enriched with life-giving dreams and visions this season. And may they lead you forward like Joseph, from Bethlehem to Egypt to Nazareth, all the while cherishing the Christ child who is with you, who is always with you, Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks be to God.